Hi, everybody. Kurt Schlichter here for Unredacted Town Hall VIP podcast that I always or almost always do with Arena Moises. Hi, Arena.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys? How are you?
I'm fine. What's this weird stuff falling from the sky? It appears to be wet.
And it's very cold.
And it's cold. This is weird because... Some fuck stain in a Dodge Charger almost took out the side of my car. You dipshit, dumbass of hazard.
Okay.
Bo and Luke jerk off. Good Lord, learn to drive, dildo. Anyway, so we got off to quite a start. Clearly, the water coming down from the sky means global warming.
And the coldness.
I love this because Donald Trump and the EPA have basically said, yeah, we're not doing global warming anymore. Have you noticed nobody's talking about it? Because it was like a complete scam. And they just said, no, we're not doing it. So it like stopped. Everything seems to be stopping. And I love it. This is, man, we are in an age of the conservatives doing what we want. We've talked about this for decades. I've been talking about this since the 80s. When I started first writing conservative stuff. Yes, the 80s. I am old AF, as the kids today say. As the hip kids say. Hep kids. And finally, we got a guy who just came in. And, you know, I think what it took, because conservatives are always like, well, we have to be conservative. We've got to be circumspect. And we have to sound like steam escaping.
Yeah.
That's a Blazing Saddles, DeLuise riff, and we must not be offensive. We can't be offensive. We can't offend anybody. We can't actually do the things that we were asked to do by the American people.
Yeah.
Right. The American people said, "Let's do these things." And the Republicans said, okay, election over, we can't do any of them. And now we're doing it like this CR, right?
Yes.
And when we tape this, it looks like Schumer has rolled over like a little bitch on the cell block.
Which is so unusual.
Well, it just doesn't happen for Republicans.
We're just not used to seeing now. Yeah.
Yeah. Suddenly, it's like we're real.
What?
It's like we're realizing our power. Wait a minute. If we stick together and aren't bitches, the other side will be bitches.
They'll be the bitches.
They'll be the bitches, not us. It's so nice to not be in bitchin'. But Schumer's been in bitchin'. I love it last week when Trump goes, oh, Schumer, the Palestinian. Yeah, he's a Palestinian. It's like, what? I guess he said, yeah, he's an igloo. You know, igloo dweller from Greenland. Wait, what? I love that there's like the little edge of Trump crazy. It's not like full Trump crazy. But, you know, he has the guy from NATO there. And they're like, well, you know, the NATO countries, they need to increase their percentage of the GDP for defense. Also, I'm going to conquer Greenland. And you're like, wait, I'm sorry, what? I'm like, I'm all for it, right? We should conquer Greenland just because we can. But it's still hysterically funny. Greenland!
But I think it makes them all a little afraid.
I know. They're all like, I don't want to make any sudden moves around this guy. And suddenly they're realizing they can't, like, he is immune to guilt, which is why the Republicans wouldn't do anything. You're going to cut Medicare and kill Grandma. Oh, man, that whole building's gone. You're going to kill Grandma. And Republicans used to be, no, we won't cut anything. We're not going to kill your grandma. And Trump's like, yeah, we're cutting it. Grandma, bitch, got to fend for herself. You know? She's been around long enough. She can graze. Don't care what she does. I don't know what she could do.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, I mean... But the thing is, I think Trump's been very smart about the way he's doing this. But I don't think he could have done it if they hadn't tried to bankrupt him. First of all, they didn't have to try and frame him. then bankrupt during the Russiagate thing, then bankrupt him, try and imprison him again by framing them.
Raid his home.
And then trying to murder him.
And then murder him.
And he's like, all right, I've given you four chances. And you done fucked up. You didn't pull it off. You went for the king.
Yep.
And you missed.
Yeah.
And now, welcome to bitch school. It's in session. Ooh, there's the Pacific Ocean. That's very pretty. It's also rainy.
Lots of great waves.
See, California is still a beautiful state. It's just run by freaking communist retards. Like Gavin Newsom, who thinks he can, like, well, you know, maybe having a dude with his peens penduluming to and fro shouldn't be in your girl's locker room. I'll think about it. And then he signs a thing where, like, 12-year-olds can consent to mental health treatment. And if the parents won't let him, they can take the kid. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to come up if you run for president, you piece of crap. You talking hairstyle.
How's his podcast doing? I haven't listened.
I don't know, but he had Bannon on.
Well, and he had Charlie
and Kirk.
So that's it.
And I disagree. Look, their concern is going, well, you're just platforming Newsom and you're normalizing him and stuff. I'm like, that's what Democrats say. I don't think that does. First of all, I think we need to talk to our opponents in public, because when we talk to them, it highlights how effing stupid they are. And I mean, it's a practical matter. I don't like the idea, well, you can't talk to anybody you don't totally agree with. I just don't like that as a basic premise. I think that is a bad idea for how to run a society. And I think it leads to bad things.
Yeah.
As a practical matter, I also think it's beneficial to us in the sense that, A, he's going to say things on there we're going to beat him around the head with. So that helps us. B, it allows us to compare and contrast his positions. I think that's a good thing. And, you know, if we end up bringing him to the right and he somehow, to some extent, he's always going to be a liberal. But, you know, there's Bill Clinton was a liberal, Obama was a liberal, and AOC's a liberal. And they're all different kind of liberals. I'd rather have the Bill Clinton liberal, you know. Bill Clinton's the guy who said, you know, I think criminals belong in jail. I think people should work rather than get welfare. And I like banging Brannis stewardesses two at a time in the condo hot tub.
Have you been practicing that?
The Bill Clinton thing?
Yeah. Because it's pretty good.
It is pretty good?
I think it's
How about this? Hillary, I want to put a baby in you.
Oh my God, you know that's a lot. Okay, whatever.
Is that working? I think that sounds a lot like him. It was like, politically, I think it's the best thing. So, Hillary, I want to put a baby in you.
You just love saying that.
I do love saying that. Hillary, I want to put a baby in you.
You've said it.
Oh, dear.
Plenty of times.
Oh, good Lord.
I think I'm good.
Oh, I hear Hillary's a screamer.
All right. Continue, please. Carry on. What are you talking about?
What was I talking about? Before I met you, I dated a girl in that house right there. And we were in the house and a peeping Tom showed up.
I don't fucking peeping Tom.
There's like some fake dude face in the window. I'm like, what the fuck?
It's amazing.
Now, if it was my house, there'd be a loaded gun like four inches from me, and he'd be a peeping fucking DOA. But there was not. So that was my
That's a great story.
That was my peeping Tom story.
Wow.
Yes. I've told you that before, haven't I?
You have, yeah.
The peeping Tom. We are in beautiful Manhattan Beach as we speak, and it's really a lovely town.
Yeah, it's really nice.
I just wish it wasn't full of freaking liberals. But, you know, I think in
very wealthy.
It's a very wealthy.
It's an easy place to be a liberal.
It is an easy place to be a liberal because there are no costs, because the cops take away all the poor people. And it is, there's restaurants and stuff. We see major celebrities down
here.
Yes, I see your beanie. You look like Tim Pool in 60 years with that thing on your head. He does. He does, huh? He really does. He looks like, hi, I'm old Tim Pool. I'd love to go there, but I'm not eating carbs at the moment. And it's working. By the way, I feel great. Hands feel good because I have arthritis in my thumbs. Shoulder feels good because I have a torn tendon. But, you know, you get rid of the carbs and you start feeling good. Anyway, so we're back. I think we had a glass of wine in like the last month, right?
Yeah, maybe. I can't even remember the last time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just not.
I'm good.
But we also quit all our wine clubs. Not all of them.
No.
But yeah. But some of them.
Be careful.
Just because, yeah. I mean, let's not get crazy talk. Oh, there's the place where we bought the sausage you put in your baked ziti, which was really good.
Amazing.
It was really good. And I'm not usually sausage. I only had a bite because I wasn't eating carbs.
But that was so good.
It was so good. So sometime we'll do cooking with Arena. But right now, we got to continue talking about the important subject that we were talking about, which was how the Trump administration is actually doing the things that conservatives have been fantasizing about.
Yeah.
For years.
It's amazing that it took Trump 2.0 to fortify everyone, right? To make them feel like they're strong enough to actually stand up to the establishment and hold their, you know,
space. I don't think this would happen if he had squeaked through the election in 2020.
No, it wouldn't. I guarantee you it would not.
It in a way, it was, in some ways it was a terrible thing. In other ways, it was a thing that has worked out. But Trump 2.0.
But I mean, all the people who we thought were weak
are now
showing a freaking backbone.
Well, you know,
and I think it's because of him.
I think he's forcing the backbone. I think, you know, when the CR came, the continuing resolution, there were a lot of Republicans. You know, Thomas Massie, of course, voted against it because, you know, he's Thomas Massie. There's always got to be one guy who's, you know, out there. He voted against it. All the Republicans stuck together. And a lot of them, like Chip Roy and stuff, not liking it. So why did they stick together? Because Trump got in there and said, guys, we got to stick together. And sticking together is the best course of action. One of the good things about the Republicans lately, which is why we seem to be winning, is a realization that you don't win everything immediately this second. If you look at how they're fighting the lawsuits, people are like, why aren't they appealing it? Why aren't they refusing to follow? You know, why didn't Trump say, now you know, courts, I don't have to follow that order. You know, appeal everything, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, watch what they're doing. Okay? They're going through the process so the issue does not become the process. That is, when we're talking about these issues, we're talking about some federal judge up in San Francisco, and he's got a reputation as a wacky guy. I may have been in front of him before. I don't remember. I think I was. And non-political case. I don't remember being impressed or unimpressed.
Hermosa.
I'm driving through Hermosa Beach.
Very
nice. It is nice. Ooh, I love those tiles. I love those tiles. Steam escaping. But I remember the judge, you know, and I don't remember being impressed or unimpressed. But the thing is, you can get these judges, and in normal cases, you know, I got a contract dispute. I say they didn't do their contract. They say they did. Guy's perfectly fine, right? Perfectly fine. One of the best judges in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals I've ever been in front of. Most intelligent, best questions, most informed, was a guy Obama picked and was grooming for the Supreme Court. I mean, Paul Watford. I mean, he was a judge's judge in this commercial case. It was I was representing a Fortune 500 company against a lying ass consumer. I don't know where he was in the, I don't know how he was in the political. I have a feeling I know, but in this case, he came in. He was not. I had the Fortune 500 company. He did not appear biased against me. He had very good questions, and they were not easy questions. Like, well, Mr. Schlechter, you say this statute does this and this and this, but this case says that, then that. How do you reconcile those? Well, you know, Your Honor, I'm glad you asked that. Let me explain, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he was a really impressive judge. And a lot of judges are not impressive. Some of the judges I've been in front of the Ninth Circuit are literally borderline retarded. I mean, I had one who said, well, I was talking to my kids at breakfast today, and they said this doesn't sound very good at all to them. I literally said that. I'm like, what? I'm looking through the record for your fucking kids' input. I don't see that anywhere in the documents, you know? I don't think freaking Junior briefed that. I mean, I'm like, what the fuck?
Wow. What do you say to that?
I was like, I actually got in a fight with the alleged libertarian judge who eventually was thrown off. Well, he had to resign because he had cow-related pornography on his government computer.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
And the other guy on that panel was Reinhardt, who's a legendary leftist. And he was not a good judge. He actually made up a procedure in the case. He, like, invented something.
Oh.
I mean, it was literally crazy.
What happens to them when they're caught doing
nothing?
Nothing.
No. The Supreme Court takes, like, 45, 50 cases a year. They are not going to take, oh, well, this guy did a procedural end run in a relatively low value. I mean, under $1 million commercial case.
Yeah.
Not on the no pile. So he can essentially do what he wants to do. The thing is with these Trump cases, right now, got all these lower courts, and what they're trying to do is use the temporary restraining order provisions to not only hamstring Trump, but make him do things. A temporary restraining order is a short-term order that says, everybody stop, don't change anything till we can talk about this. We need like a week to brief, right? There was in the Khalil case, there was essentially, it's not exactly a TRO, but that same thing. There was a temporary restraining order by the judge in New York who shouldn't have jurisdiction anyway because the guy is physically in Louisiana and you do habeas corpus petitions, which are a civil petition, not a criminal petition, in the venue where the person's body, habeas corpus means deliver the body. It's a order to, essentially free a prisoner. You do it in the venue where he is, which would be Western District of Louisiana. So this judge in New York said, okay, you filed here. I don't know what's going on. I'm issuing a restraining order. Don't deport him. Don't do nothing. Don't change anything. Which is, as much as I like it, probably an appropriate use of a TRO.
It is appropriate.
You freeze the situation in the short term. Even though you're in New York. I mean, there's some other things to it, other nuances, but it's less crazy than the others. Likelihood of success is a factor. I'm not sure that meets the factor, but it's less crazy than others. But others are using the TRO process, which is, okay, everybody stop and freeze. One judge goes, oh, no, here's my TRO. You pay all these bills.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And it's like, well, that's not a TRO because you're not keeping the status quo. You're giving these guys money, and I guess theoretically you could ask for it back, but they're not going to have it. And that's what went up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, we're denying your application to federal government, we're denying your application to stay this temporary restraining order, which is really an injunction. An injunction is where you can tell them to actually do these things. Those you don't get till after a hearing. So you go in, you get a TRO for like a week, and you have the injunction hearing, right? And it's a preliminary injunction because you haven't had the whole trial. And that's where you look at and go, okay, this guy's likely to win, so I can start ordering some stuff. This isn't a temporary, this isn't an injunction. And he was actually ordering the court to do something. What's interesting is the Supreme Court said, no, the government moves to stay the temporary restraining order. All right. Normally, they're not appealable. Yeah. You can't appeal a TRO because by definition, it's only going to last a couple days, right? So you don't want to go through the appeal process. But they did anyway. They said, wait, it's not actually a TRO. It's actually an injunction, blah, blah, blah. Robert said, stop. Supreme Court considered it and then said, we're denying your application to stay the order. So you would think the TRO went into effect, right? Because I said, okay, we've lifted the stay on the order. TRO goes in. No, 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 no. They go to the court and say, I want you to reconsider the order and it with the following things in mind. What the fuck is that? Huh. You deny the application and then you told the court to do stuff to the order. Hmm. Okay. See, why Justice Roberts is doing this stuff is not because he's against Trump, though he doesn't like Trump. Says he wants to get regular order back. He's trying to get these guys into regular order, and they don't want, he doesn't want 100 appeals of 100 TROs.
Right. Okay.
But he knows this stuff's eventually going to come back. So he's trying to impose order on a process that's totally chaotic. And the way he's imposing order is with more disorder. Now, I think you can do that, but he's not doing that. The answer is to go, no, we're granting the application because you're ordering him to do some affirmative, which he likely couldn't do anyway, because what's really happening is these are contract claims, right? The government contracts with these outside guys to give them money. And if you want to fight the government over it not giving you money under a contract, you have to go to the federal court's claims, not a district court. So a district court doesn't have jurisdiction. So this guy couldn't make that order anyway. It's all, see? Yeah, and you're probably sitting there. Yeah, you're sitting there going, this is all crazy. You're right. Your gut instinct is absolutely correct. It is all crazy.
Okay.
Crazy. Hey, crazy. Remember the OA and they had the magic dance? That was the worst streaming show ever. We had to do one of these.
Suck Toy is called her crazy. Hey, crazy.
Hey, crazy.
I think we walked around the house calling
each other crazy. Hey, crazy. We ought to do a whole show on, you know, complaining about all streaming series.
We should.
That should be. We could actually do that like every week. Hi, welcome to Bitching About Netflix. But anyway, so let's get back to it. What is Trump doing? Trump is taking, one answer is Trump could just say, I'm not going to do anything these lower courts say. This attacks, this, of course, is an attack on the credibility of the courts. And it is. You know, when you say, oh my gosh, constitutional crisis, kind of is. He's not doing that. He's going, okay, your order's bullshit. I might have to pay some money here or let some government flunky keep working when he probably shouldn't be. But, you know, I got time and I got endless money. So I'm just going to do that, but I'm going to fight these procedurally. I'm going to go through and just fight them out. And there's 100 lawsuits against, you know, Trump. He's got the biggest law firm in the world, the United States Department of Justice. Get on it. And I've read some of their pleadings are freaking good.
Okay.
The stuff they're writing is, it's compelling. It's well written. I mean, Pam Bondi, you know, and these are not all conservatives, right? But the stuff that they're writing is quality, you know, quality briefing. I know the difference. The stuff on the earth, like Khalil stuff, he had an amended complaint. That you make a complaint, you do habeas corpus. This is my complaint, and then you can amend it, right? You can do a new one. So I saw the new one. 19 counsel of record. 19, 1 in 9. That's a lot of lawyers.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a piece of shit. It is, it's very argumentative in the sense, not making arguments, but a lot of it's like, you know, he was kidnapped from his home. And it's like, you know, in normal cases, judges don't appreciate hyperbole and stuff. They're like, what's the case law? Why is this the same or different?
Right.
What do you think I should rule and why? That's a brief. Not this was designed for an audience. And I don't think the courts appreciate that. Department of Justice isn't doing that. Department of Justice is playing by the rules. And by playing by the rules over time, I think we're going to get what we want. And and Trump's also going to get what he needs. And what he needs What he needs is precedent. What he needs, decisions from higher courts that say, no, you can't do this. He's starting to get it from the courts of appeal. So I think it's smart. And I think it's time for us to stop doing this. Thank you, Irina Moises, of course.
Yeah, you are welcome. I was going to ask you about they figured out who the leakers for the ICE raids.
Yes.
What happens to these
people? Well, if they're lucky, they get fired. It may be a criminal offense.
I was going to say, it's got to be a criminal
offense. I don't know. But I know they, Pam Bondi's guys went and arrested a guy who blew up the Tesla store for a Molotov app. That is a political terrorism act. He's looking at 20 years, use of a destructive device. That's...
All right, hopefully he gets all...
Hopefully he gets it, because we can't do that.
Yeah.
What about the J6 guys? Well, you framed most of them. You got them in a biased venue. You did a whole bunch of other shenanigans, so you lost the right to prosecute them. But the principle, you can't do use violence against people because of their politics. I mean, if you want to change that, you probably want to think that through real quick. Yeah, that's all good stuff. So follow me on Twitter at Kurt Schlichter. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday are my town hall columns. Fridays, get my stream of courteousness, which is always amazing. And of course, this podcast, where occasionally I behave like a normal human being.
Occasionally, and it's refreshing.
It's a nice change.
It really is.
You get a little view from a guy. I mean, I'm like arguing for the Ninth Circuit. I'm not a hack.
No. Very interesting.
I am fascinating. You ought to marry me. We should have children and dogs. Go get Kelly Turnbull books, a new Kelly Turnbull graphic novel coming out. Of course, The Attack is still out. And of course, Irina and I are working on a new book called Lost Angeles, and it's a lot of fun.
It is fun.
And it'll be out soon. We got to call our artist today. Okay. So he wants to talk to us.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you on the next Unredacted.
Bye.